This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Abercrombie's Shorts and Swim Sale is live, and they're giving Spotify listeners an extra 15% off with code SWIMAF. Abercrombie's Shorts and Swim Trunks come in so many fits and fabrics, it's easy to find your go-to pair. Prep for summer during Abercrombie's Shorts and Swim Sale. Excludes clearance, online price reflects discount. Use code SWIMAF to get an additional 15% off almost everything at checkout from May 8th, 2025 through May 12th, 2025. Offer valid in US and Canada. Exclusions apply. See details online.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Woo-hoo! Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, speaking of things that people might be sick and tired of talking about, Shador Sanders.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Mel Kiper is furious he's not the next pope.
Who will be the first member of our media world saying that he doesn't get it because he's wearing his dollar sign gear into the facility?
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Rams linebacker Jared Verse, comedian David Spade, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. It's a Friday here on the Rich Eisen Show. David Spade's going to be here. Susie's coming back to help us with our celebrity family feud practice for 1 week from today when we're in Atlanta shooting this against the Dan Patrick Show. Carrying the flag for Roku against Dan Patrick and planting it right in the middle of his field, right in the middle of Steve Harvey's studio. That's what we're going to be doing. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Tom Pelissero is joining us. Guess who's coming to the studio? Jared Verse of the Los Angeles Rams, the defending rookie defensive player of the year. Guys, I'm telling you, I met Jared Verse once. It was in the pre-broadcast meeting with Kurt Warner at the Rams facility in Woodland Hills the day before they took on the Arizona Cardinals on a Saturday here in Los Angeles late last season. You are going to love him. You are going to love him. The story, because I'll have him retell this story as well. He, in training camp last year as a rookie who didn't play a damn snap yet in the NFL, was told to chill by the coaching staff because he was talking so much mess to his teammates. They told him to chill. You're going to love him. And the same thing goes for you at home, whether you're watching us on the Roku Sports Channel, streaming us live there every day, 12 to 3 Eastern, whether you're checking us out on the Infinity Sports Network, Radio Coast to Coast Terrestrial, Sirius XM, Channel 375, or you're taking us in on the Odyssey app or later on our YouTube channel when we cut this stuff up, listening to us on our podcast, the Cumulus Podcast Network. You're going to love it. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, what's up, man?
Good to see you, Jay Felly.
Hey, what's
up,
Rich?
Everybody wearing his Raiders lid. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candles lit over there. What's going on?
I'm happy. today.
Who's on your t-shirt?
Oh, this is the great Scott Hall. Hey, yo.
Okay. Hey, yo.
Every episode of the No Contest Wrestling Podcast.
Yes, sir.
With a toothpick.
Oh, like UL Washington.
Hey, yo.
I remember that back in the day. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
For the Kansas City Royals?
Had one of the great throws of all time.
I remember him for his toothpick. Because I was afraid, like, if there was a collision at second, like, does he swallow that thing?
Right. Did Joel just have a couple in his back pocket? And then if he slid, what happened?
You have to go head first. Stomach first.
Always.
Got to
do that.
Yeah. Well, you're good to see you over there.
Sir. Always a treat, Rich.
So, some scintillating action last night. On the ice, by the way, I don't know if there was a good old playoff overtime Vegas, and the Edmonton Oilers are up 2-0 there. Connor McDavid, good Lord.
So good.
So good.
I know.
Is he the best athlete in his sport to not have won a championship yet?
Well, They kind of look like they're on their way right now.
They do, but you know, hockey, Stanley Cup, wide open.
Of course. But it was scintillating action. Was watching that mostly during the poker group game last night because they're mostly hockey fans I'm playing with. Oh. And I'm like, you know, I'm the one who's like, let's turn to basketball. I swear. The NHL would love my game for sure. They go all in on the remote for hockey. And at that point in time, it was all over between the Warriors and the Timberwolves anyway, even with Anthony Edwards going out with that ankle injury.
Ooh, cause, that was scary.
Son of Dale Davis landed right on his ankle, right?
Yeah.
And that was scary, to say the least. And also to scare Warriors fans, if that's the way they're going to look without Steph Diggs, look out below.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, look out below.
Also no Steph Diggs.
I know that. True. If that's the way they're going to look out without Steph and Curry, not great.
Not great.
But what did you expect?
I expected that, kind of, actually.
I don't know, man. I didn't expect a total wipeout.
Buddy Hill isn't going to be lights out for the whole series.
Somebody's got to step up because this guy's not coming back. He's not walking through that door anytime soon.
No, it doesn't seem like
he's limping through the door.
Yeah.
And I mean, guy in his mid-30s coming back from a hamstring strain. I would be surprised if he returns in the series unless he gives it a go if there's a game six, a game seven, an elimination game. And we're showing him with Draymond Green, who's front and center today, because once again, he picked up a technical because when there's contact and he's trying to draw a foul, normally you let the other guy, you know, make contact with you. Instead, he just flails his arms. He flails his legs. I mean, how many times have we seen this? And how many times have we had these conversations on this show? I've lost track. We've been here for 11 years now. This is our 11th year.
Wow.
Did we not go on the air and talk about how he, you know, was sitting there with Marshawn Lynch during an A's game across the street from when they were playing in Oakland, an NBA Finals game against the Cavs, who he let back into the series because he hit the crown jewels of King James. You know, the light the beam. Kings got some extra life because he stepped on Sabonis' stomach. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. We could run it back. And we do run it back now, again, because he picked up his fifth technical. Apparently, from what I saw on the social media feeds, he's riding an exercise bike in a tunnel. Can we find a different spot for him to ride an exercise bike?
There's no other place to put them.
I don't know, man. It just seems like, you know, he's riding an exercise bike and he's hearing it from the crowd, and apparently somebody slurred him. And there's no place for that sort of behavior ever, anywhere. I mean, you may not like the guy and the way that he goes about his business, but guy's still a human being and clearly with flaws that he can't seem to comport himself in the most important parts of the season in the biggest games. And everybody's talking about what he had to say afterwards, where we don't know the question that was asked, right? This is something that we're going to bring up in a second.
Yeah, we don't know where it came from. This soundbite.
Kind of setting the stage where it's another situation where he gets teed up, and he deserved the tee. I mean,
oh, without question.
It just clocked Naz Reid right in the grill. I mean, and again, in a manner in which you can't control your arms that way. When you're a Hall of Fame athlete,
you're
like
far
he is,
too athletic to be so uncoordinated. Right. You know?
It looks like a marionette, right? Where you can't just.
Looks like the media when Jerry Jones is at controls.
This guy right over there.
Geppetto.
At any rate, this is the soundbite that is certainly leading every sportscast today.
I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. Who is he thinking the agenda is with? Is it the league? Is it the officials? Is it us in the media? What? What's the agenda?
That's a great question.
Again, I didn't even mention clocking Jordan Poole in his own training camp practice, right? I mean, preseason. I didn't even mention that.
Yep.
While this soundbite was being delivered, or prior to it, because I don't think Steve Kerr knew this is what he was saying. Kerr was asked about the technical foul that was picked up by Draymond early in a game with Steph Curry being out.
He's going to have to stay composed. Obviously, we need him. I'm confident that he will because he knows, you know, he knows the circumstances.
Were you frustrated or disappointed given how poised he's been the last couple games, how much he seemed to lose it a little bit tonight?
It's part of Draymond, you know, the same thing that makes him such a competitor and a winner puts him over the top sometimes. And, you know, we know that, and it's our job to try to help him stay poised, stay composed. But the competition is so meaningful to him that, you know, occasionally he goes over the line.
Again, we always try to be as fair as possible here. Apparently Draymond, I was just looking it up over and over again prior to the show and just now during that soundbite. Apparently that was his statement when he was just, when reporters went to his locker, there was no question. He just said what he said and then walked away.
Wow.
And then on top of it, a fan was ejected from the game, from the arena. Whoever said what he or she said to Draymond while he's riding the exercise bike. And ESPN's article on it, on ESPN.com, is referring to that a fan was ejected for directing a racial slur at Green. So got to keep that in your mind's eye as Draymond is speaking. And what could be clanking around his brain.
Yeah.
And again, he could... As he said, a family man, we see it on a commercial, him retrieving the basketball against the Wolves, yeah. Interestingly enough. And we also see what he does on the court. Guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
Which you say
Guy
all the
is
time.
Going, you know, this is to the Hall of Fame. There will be a day where he is in Springfield, Massachusetts, and he's getting his due. It's going to happen. But he will always be remembered for when he tries to sell a foul call and the contact is made, that there is an extra arm that goes, an extra leg that goes, that appears to be controllable every time. Almost every time, if you want to give him any benefits of the doubt. It's like 99 out of 100 times. You look at it, go, you couldn't have stopped your leg here. It had to keep going there into that sensitive area of your opponent. You couldn't have let go of Rudy Gobert's neck at this point in time.
That was a long choke.
Right? I mean, it's always seems to be a prolonged act that appears to be an act of somebody who cannot control themselves. And that there has to be some sort of moment where a Hall of Fame athlete, somebody who is, as he said, well-educated at Michigan State, should realize, like, I am putting the team in jeopardy and I need to do better. But maybe this is what riles him up to the point where he is, in fact, a Hall of Fame athlete. I don't know. This is the conundrum of Draymond that we've been talking about now for a decade. He's two technical fouls away from getting the dreaded one-game suspension. So he's got one more, right? He's got one more foul to give, one more technical foul to give.
Well, he's going
to
use it.
He's got one more to give. And then the second one, he's in the non-bonus. And with Steph Curry out, you know, you got one more in you. Get it out of the way. You know, the home fans will probably be there to verbally support him. Certainly won't be ejected for saying what the Timberwolves fans said.
For sure.
But I mean, it's just, you're just changing the proper noun and the technical foul circumstances and the body part of the opponent that he's violating and the opponent's name and the year and the date. It's the same Mad Lib. We're just changing the other proper nouns and everything else. And it's just, and this is the other part of his Hall of Fame talent or proof of it. If he didn't have it, you think he'd have been cut? How long ago would they have cut him?
Years ago.
How many teams did, say, just for instance, Dylan Brooks been on?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the thing. I'm not the biggest Draymond fan, but I do appreciate the skill that he brings.
He's an unbelievable skill. Passing, rebounding, right. Shooting.
And he's one of those guys, if he's your guy, you probably love him, and then the other 29 teams absolutely hate him. I think the biggest thing that I have issue with what he said is agenda. So that makes it seem like there's a collective conspiracy, if you will, to portray him in a certain manner when we're just commenting on what we see on the court. And then that's you behaving like a madman night in and night out and seemingly costing your team and affecting the outcome of games. And it's just not good. It's not good one way or the other, whether, you know, whatever he thinks, it's not good.
And again, though, just to say here, which is why, you're a white guy saying it, and so am I. And so he's bringing in this aspect of the conversation, which we don't have the lifelong depth to comment on.
Sure, you know? But there's three African-American men every night on the NBA on Turner set who have been saying the same thing about Draymond for years.
You know, and two of them he's going to share a hall room with. You want to say, you have anything you want to add, TJ?
Like I said before the show, it was all about context. Like, where did this come from? Was it, and now you're saying it was just a standalone statement. Again, not knowing.
He did. But there was this, a word thrown at him during the game that caused someone to be ejected that could absolutely put in his mind's eye these words come out of his body.
Look, I'm no fan of the way Draymond acts on the court, as we've talked about. I'm in total agreement with you. The constant complaining and yelling and, you know, the extra movements and limbs flailing, you know, I'm not a fan of that. So if someone who doesn't know anything about him will look at him and see him yapping at the officials, you might think that this guy's angry, right? But when you throw in the whole angry black man thing, that's a whole nother thing we're looking at, because now you're going to have other players who are looking at it as just simply tough guys or gritty, you know, and then with him, he plays angry. So it's kind of a steep slope that you're going down. But again, not knowing what was said to him at that moment to make him go off, but the way he plays, the way he acts on the court, it gives something. I don't know what it gives. Like Chris says, it's something that doesn't help his team in certain situations, but I don't want to, like, you know, that phrasing of what he said that can take you down a path where, you know, I'm not Draymond. I don't know Draymond. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he goes through. I don't know what is said to him. I just know, we know him for 48 minutes, you know, 82 times a year. Well, we don't know the guy with his daughter.
We also see his podcast. Yeah, we see all that sort of stuff. Right. So there's a face front that we always judge. In terms of the basketball aspect of it, he's got an incredible ability to facilitate. And we saw that from the beginning of his career, where he's used sometimes as the point forward, right?
Yeah, from early on, for sure. Right?
And certainly he's been forced on occasion to distribute because Steph is running around trying to
get open,
right? So the point guard needs to sometimes have some help to get open, and the guy who can facilitate, being a man of his size at the position he plays, is next level. Like, that's kind of a unicorn also. Right? The way that he can distribute, the way he can facilitate, the way he can rebound, the way that he can get in somebody else's face and wind up the opponent, the way that sometimes, you know, they leave him wide open.
Mm-hmm.
He made 4 threes the other night.
Yeah, he made those in game one.
So he's got these Hall of Fame abilities. But he does not bring on it, from what appears, a Hall of Fame ability to know where the line is.
That's
and
a
stroll
to
right up to it. And maybe if you do cross it, it's done so subtly, you can't be called on it.
Which is just like a Rodman thing, right? He was kind of subtle with his shoves, and but Draymond is more like,
yeah.
Bam, and Rodman just, was more like, well, he give just, that to
it,
you.
It's as if it gives off the impression he does not care to comport himself. And that's got to flip out his coach and his teammates on occasion, but they also know he's the guy that they need on the court. Certainly with Steph out for the foreseeable future, with the first strained muscle injury of his career. So there's uncharted waters for him. And he's two technicals and or two flagrant fouls away from a suspension. He's got one to give in each department. And he's got to bring some Hall of Fame comportment, is my opinion. And I would say that about anybody who has a history on the court of these flagrant violations.
Yeah.
Anybody.
But we can also say, Rich, that if off the court, if he was a bad dude, if there was something, Steph would have had.
On the court, he wasn't as good as I just said.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah. So obviously, like, you know, if he was a bad dude, that team would have moved him.
Well, they moved Jordan Poole instead. So and he's pretty damn talented.
I should tell you something, you know.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We come back. Tom Pelissero will join us. Tommy P.
Our own Draymond Green.
That's right. Yes. We will have
Tom has much better
Tom
hair.
Will give us all the information, but not until Chris wastes the first 15 seconds of the conversation.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out, for recovery, it's game-changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event, up to 50% off, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Worried about your battery and the heat? We get it. You don't want to get stranded somewhere with a car that feels like an oven. We've got you covered at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Our free battery testing and charging service can help. And if you need a battery, we'll help you find a new one, no problem. Power through with free battery testing and charging at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Back here on the program, Tom Pelissero about to join us. I just spent the commercial break QCing our latest reel that we're about to post. Our boy Jake from Be Known. What's up, Jake?
Jake.
Yeah, he wasn't on the meeting yesterday because he was going to his girlfriend's graduation.
Oh.
Is this the girlfriend from Canada, or does she really exist?
Oh, no, Jay Felly's is Canada.
Oh, is that right?
That's my wife. That's his wife.
I'm just kidding. Jake, I love you, buddy.
Everyone's got a wife in Canada.
I love Jake. I'm just kidding.
DJ, you have two, right?
Jake's a great human. Anyway, he just cut up the latest reel that's about to be popped up there of Joe Mantegna yesterday through the Swirsky Brothers sketch. That'll be fun on our Instagram and Facebook and
TikTok pages. I thought Jake was going to another Phillies game. Seems like he's always there.
For sure. Oh, by the way, the long national nightmare of waiting for Abdul Carter to get a number is over.
Oh!
The Giants have announced it's number 51.
Hey!
But there's an asterisk, subject to change.
What? I don't like that
subject
for him.
Subject to change. By the way, Cam Scataboo wearing Riggins is 44, right?
That is sick.
I dig it.
That is awesome.
I dig it.
I don't like that.
Jackson
51.
Dart is 6.
You don't like 51?
Not for Abdul.
Who's the best 51 ever? Butkus, right? It was 51?
Was he 51 or 52? Yeah.
Hold on a minute here.
I should know this because I used to live in a house where we had a framed Butkus jersey in it. So,
is that right? Did you really?
Yeah, we had a framed every year.
Yeah, Butkus was 51.
51, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how about Giants? I'm looking it up. Famous Giants to wear it. Zach Diossi. Is he going to get Zach Diossi's
You have to come up.
Is he getting the permission from Zach Diossi?
You don't have to come up off a car to get it from Diossi.
That's about it. 51 looks, it looks like it's free and clear.
Okay.
Abrams wore it. Bobby Abrams, former University of Michigan Wolverine, called for holding on Bo Schembechler's last Rose Bowl.
How do you
that was not holding.
That?
Trust me. I will never forget it. We were late coming to this guy. Don't blame me. Blame Draymond Green for picking up another technical foul. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. NFL Plus as well. Good to see you, Tom. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Rich. What's up to my boys in studio?
Oh, hey, Tommy P. My mom says hi. She loves Aaron.
Oh, gosh. It's Mother's Day, so I can't complain about you getting Mary Brockman's salutations out there. Hey, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
What's number one in your reporter's notebook here on this Friday before schedule release week, Tom?
Besides Draymond Green, for the record, I am in Minneapolis. I was not one of the people chanting Draymond sucks for the final three quarters of that game.
Got it.
Might have had a couple of choice words sitting on my couch here, but was not actually.
Okay. Look at you for the T-Wolves. What's in your NFL reporter's notebook, Tom?
I think that the clearest top story of the week is the George Pickens trade. And I've heard and seen so much confusion over why the Steelers were moving on from George Pickens. There's no doubt that George Pickens is an unbelievably talented player. He was an unbelievably talented player when he was coming out of Georgia several years ago. But the same reason that he went in the second round of the draft rather than being the top 20 pick is the reason that the Steelers are moving on from him at this stage. My understanding is they just got to a point where they knew they were not going to extend him. And so rather than playing it out this year, seeing how it went with him playing opposite DK Metcalf, hoping for a compensatory draft pick if he leaves, which would be out in the 2027 draft, you take the certainty of the 2026 comp pick, your 2026 third round pick. You are insured of getting the pick, which you're not with compensatory picks. It's all about free agent movement. For Dallas, it certainly makes a lot of sense in terms of they needed somebody opposite CeeDee Lamb. They needed something to bring another element to their offense. But when it comes to why the Steelers moved on from George Pickens, this was not just a snap decision. This was not, he overreacted to them paying and trading for DK Metcalf. It was everything over the past several years. Again, unbelievably talented football player, but there were a variety of different issues. There was tardiness to meetings. There was a couple of games where he showed up late to the locker room. You always want guys there before you turn in your inactives 90 minutes before the game. There were multiple occasions George Pickens wasn't in the locker room yet. Obviously, the personal fouls, that stuff that everybody saw on the field. There were at times missed assignments, which might be related to him being late to meetings. And it just kind of sucks some of the energy out of the locker room when you have somebody who, on a weekly basis, you just don't know what type of things they might be involved with beyond making unbelievable catches. And it was the same stuff, like I said, coming out of Georgia, where there was just a lot of concern about the level to which you're going to have to hold George Pickens' hand, not as a football player. He's going to go out and make catches, but it was about just doing all those other things right. And, you know, there were times that he had clashes with various quarterbacks. He was certainly somebody who wanted Russell Wilson to be playing, not Justin Fields last year. There's a lot there. And none of that is to say that they're not going to get the most out of him in Dallas. He's got a massive opportunity here, Rich, with 1 year left on his contract to play his way either into getting franchise tag next year or into becoming an unrestricted free agent and getting massive money on the open market. It's all out there for George Pickens. There's never been any doubt about his talent. It's putting all these other things together. He talked about that himself yesterday in his conference call with reporters that, you know, there's a maturity aspect that he's working on. And part of that now is him going to Dallas and making the most of this opportunity. As long as Dak Prescott is throwing up some of those 50-50 balls and letting George go make plays, I think they're going to get along just fine. The Steelers bet in all this at a time that they don't know for certain who their quarterback is going to be is that, you know, between some of the other guys they got on the roster, Calvin Austin, Robert Woods, who was a signing, Roman Wilson was a third-round pick last year and really didn't play because of injuries, that group is going to make up for it, in addition to obviously having another really, you know, premier threat on the other side in DK Metcalf.
All right, so lots of things there, Tom. Let's take it kind of one at a time from one team to the other. Steelers, you just described all the things as to why they would trade away George Pickens and his clear talent on the field. Got it. They are, however, trying to make sure and assure themselves of a certain Southern California resident coming to Western Pennsylvania and saying yes, despite whatever is holding Aaron Rodgers back from delivering that message right now. Any word if the Steelers gave him a heads up? Hey, you know that really talented other receiver we have? He's now a Dallas Cowboy. And how or concerned that that might not land properly with a guy they're trying to get. Tom?
My understanding, Rich, is that there was no heads up given. This wasn't them consulting with Aaron Rodgers on the trade. Aaron Rodgers technically is not on the team right now.
It's
very unusual situation where you think the guy probably is coming, but he's not actually part of the team.
Right.
No, they did not give him a heads up on it. I think that it's notable that when Aaron Rodgers began seriously considering going to the Steelers, he made a point to go and throw with DK Metcalf and not with George Pickens. I would also say, Rich, when I'm describing George Pickens as a player, and again, unbelievable talent, but not the most detailed guy. Again, there are issues at times with missed assignments with George Pickens. We know that Aaron Rodgers, whether it's with Mike Williams not running the red line last year with the Jets, whether it's with some of the young receivers he had at the end in Green Bay, or going back and forth with Garrett Wilson in training camp last year, if Aaron Rodgers can't count on where you're going to be on the field, he very quickly is not going to have use for you anymore. I'm not saying that's why the Steelers made the trade, but if you're profiling the type of wide receiver that Aaron Rodgers would want, George Pickens, as talented as he is, may not be the best mesh if and when Aaron Rodgers becomes the Steelers quarterback.
Okay, now we move to Dallas. You said that there were two options essentially for DK Metcalf. I mean, for George Pickens when he goes to Dallas, which is ball out and get franchise tagged or hit free agency with the wind at his back. There's a third option, which is clearly the Cowboys needing to re-sign him, but they do it too late until somebody else sets the market for them and they overpay him. Don't forget that option, Tom.
And they're paying CD Lamb $34.5 million a year because they waited so long to pay him. The Bengals have just shown that
you're picking up what I'm putting down. And that's my way of leading to Micah Parsons. When are they going to sign this man, Tom?
Because there's a method to his madness, Tom.
Well, there's also another Pittsburgh connection here because T.J. Watt might sign on the dotted line soon, too. And, I mean, wouldn't that reset a market, right? I mean, what's happening? Tom, handshake
agreement?
I don't know
that T.J. Watt's going to reset a market that Miles Garrett just set at $40 million a year just based upon age. You know, he's obviously a really, really good player, and he's going to get paid, and the Steelers are going to pay him. But the idea that he's going to get over $40 million a year, that might be ambitious, in part because people still can't believe that Myles Garrett got $40 million per year and totally reset the edge market. There's a deal to be had with T.J. Watt. We'll see if and when that deal happens. He is entering the last year of his contract. The Steelers would like to lock him up, but you know they're not going to go above and beyond you know, what the marketplace is for T.J. Watt in order to get that deal done. Micah, because he's young, he's younger even than Myles Garrett, obviously going into his second contract here, he's the one that you would anticipate that's going to be over $40 million per year. And like everything else with the Cowboys, it just doesn't sound like they're really far down the road right now with getting a Micah deal done. This is just kind of Jerry's approach to this. I know there have been conversations, but conversations are different than negotiations. You know, I think we've got a pretty good idea what the number is going to have to be for Micah Parsons. But Micah also, by virtue of being a high first-round pick, he's made some money. He's due a bunch of money this year. You know, he doesn't necessarily need to rush. Nobody wants to play out their deal and then get tagged and go down that road just because there's so much injury risk and everything else. But if that's what it comes to here, Micah Parsons is going to be in a power position. He's going to have the leverage, especially if you were to get into that first franchise tag season and the type of number that would be, you know, sitting like a rock on the Cowboys salary cap at a time that they're going to have other people they're looking to pay, including potentially George Pickens. No, it does not sound like that's down the road. It doesn't sound like anything in terms of a George Pickens extension is in the works at this time. We'll see. You know, they're good problems to have, but you know, I was just about to use the Bengals analogy there, Rich, because they showed you can pay both wide receivers. Well, they currently have an edge rusher, Trey Hendrickson, that they haven't gotten a deal done with, the NFL's reigning sack leader. There's just, you know, everybody can say all the stuff they want about the cap is fake and all this stuff. It's real. Every dollar you spend hits the cap eventually. And these are, you know, real things the teams have to navigate here in terms of, you know, trying to set up their roster the best they can while simultaneously dealing with a good problem, which is having a lot of really good players you got to pay.
Okay, so what's next here? Schedule gets released next week, right? Anything you want, you're hearing that you're comfortable throwing out there? Any breadcrumbs?
I believe I am contractually barred from speculating.
So am I. That's why I'm asking you to go first.
Speculating about the schedule, I do anticipate there are going to be some interesting things from an international scheduling perspective.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. Maybe even, while I was filling in for you, Rich, a couple of months ago, I gave my idea for how you would eventually play 32 international games a year, and it was all about sending pods of four teams over. Maybe the NFL might be experimenting a little bit with something very similar to that.
Okay.
So that'll be something to keep an eye on here. Obviously, we'll be watching for the kickoff game, who the Eagles are going to have. There's a bunch of really good options because they've got the Lions on their home slate this year. They've got the Rams on their home slate this year. Obviously, they've got those other NFC East teams. So who gets put in those positions? I do know there's, I believe, five different announcements Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before the whole schedule gets released. Five formal announcements, not including the leaks that back in my Green Bay Press Gazette days, you got those leaks by calling the local hotel because somebody with the Packers would slip them the home game schedule so they could jack up their rates.
Yeah,
in advance of the schedule coming out. That's how you used to get that back in the day.
Yeah, man, no doubt. Green Bay was always the spot because you would. I know people apparently with the hotels there that we were all hanging out in for the draft. We'll book a room for 18 straight weeks and then cancel on the bye weeks and the weeks that they're on the road just to make sure that they get the spot for the home games. I've heard all these things throughout hosting schedule release shows, but interesting nuggets right there. Yeah, I think the Today Show is going to be the first to go up on Monday, and that's probably where we'll find out what the season opener is for the Philadelphia Eagles in the first night game of the season, the first Thursday night game. When is Purdy popping? When's that going? Like, is there a timing that you're hearing about right now?
When he signs? This is one of those, Rich, that could happen pretty much any time. I don't get the sense that, you know, I always hesitate to say anything is close or because there is, you know, it's like Yoda. There is no close. There is only done. Are they within the realm of, hey, if they agree to something right now, it could get done quickly. Yeah, but they're not there just yet. I would anticipate it's going to come to a head sometime before the start of training camp, potentially sooner than that. I do anticipate that it's going to be somewhere in the 50s. Exactly what that number ends up being remains to be seen, but it's going to be a solid, if not top of the market type of deal, because Dak was in just a different position, having earned a lot of money, having the level of leverage that he did. Brock Purdy right now is due like $5 million this season, and they've got the specter of franchise tags. It's a lot harder at times just to make the numbers work when you got a very small number remaining in the last year of an existing contract. He was a seventh round pick, as everybody knows. And so it's a little bit more difficult here, but he, I believe, is going to get paid. I do believe that this gets done. In terms of the exact timing, we'll see, but I would think for all parties involved, resolving this before training camp and not having that hanging over everybody's heads would probably be a benefit.
I appreciate it. Giving you a heads up, next Friday, Tom, you'll be talking with Susie, Sarah, Tiana, and Colleen Wolf as there's a Women's Sports Now takeover of the Rich Eisen Show next Friday, because the rest of us, all of us, are going to Atlanta to record an episode of Celebrity Family Feud against the Dan Patrick Show. Yeah, Tom. So
I was not invited. I thought you would have me over Brockman.
Oh, I love this. See, because he's the one who loves your hellos more than anyone else. And now we're playing the feud. I love it.
I'm going to take back the picture I sent Tom 10 minutes ago.
What picture is that?
It's me waving hello.
Picture. I sent a video.
Why do you do this?
I sent a video.
I'm talking to him.
Today I muted the thread.
Morons.
I muted the thread just so I wouldn't be distracted by this.
Oh, my God. Are you really sending him this during our conversation?
Well, it's right in the beginning.
You see, it's the same shirt that he's wearing now. So
I know, so it is what it is. Yeah.
Tom, did you get my text, Tom?
TJ sent him a video. I'm just doing pictures.
Buttoned all the way to the top, like Rain Man, like one of the Babbitt brothers. I'm the opposite of that. I'm showing a little bit too much today because I'm feeling
it. Two buttons is the way to go.
Thank you, sir.
I'm rich on this. I'm always a two-button guy on TV.
That's because you got the hair to back it up. I don't. I'm out of moves. You're not. All right, listen, Tom, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. You be well.
See you, fellas.
NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. I don't want to. Did Yoda really say that?
It's in the cadence of Yoda.
So I'm saying, is he actually quoting Yoda, or?
I don't know. Tom has not seen a lot of movies, so I would question if Tom's actually seen
Star
Wars. I don't
know, man. Maybe he is.
Maybe I'll ask him.
Leave him alone. He's muted you. Sorry. Clearly, he doesn't want to hear from you. Leave him alone. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available Blind Spot View Monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it, the biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. Brockman just out of the blue. Where were you when you sent this tweet, Chris?
Oh, I mean, was that on a Sunday? Was it a Sunday night?
Don't remember.
I was probably just at home.
And you just said, you
watching
know what?
The games.
If the Eagles make the playoffs, I'll take
might
a bite out of Mike
myself.
Del Tufo's yeah. hat. You yeah. said, I will take a bite out of Mike Del Tufo's hat.
Yeah.
Eagles have made the playoffs, and you have avoided the inevitable for a week. That ends now. I just sliced up a 1-inch by 1-inch cutout of Mike Del Tufo's Callaway hat, and I placed it like little Easter eggs into the
right.
half of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yep.
Take a bite.
Ugh,
here we go.
Here
you go. Brockman is taking a bite. Did you get a piece of the hat there?
Oh,
I
yeah.
think you did.
Oh, yeah.
You're the one who chose the peanut butter, too.
Trash can nearby?
Nope. Nope. We don't. That's one bite of it.
Oh, he's taking it in. Just swallow.
You're good. Did you get it? Did you get a nice piece?
It's down. It's gone.
By the way, this is creamy peanut butter suddenly made a little chunky.
Oh, I feel it. It might be stuck in my throat.
There we go. There we go, man. Your champions of the NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles.
And it's part of the hat sticking out. I didn't get it all.
Oh, that is an awful piece right there in that sandwich.
Can I pull that
no, you may not.
No,
well,
no,
you
to,
as long
no,
as you
no.
eat it, as long as
yeah,
you eat it,
eat it. Yeah.
Keep going.
Ugh.
Keep going. I didn't go through.
Oh, man, this piece is like right on my tooth.
Keep going.
I'm done.
You're almost done, man.
I mean,
I'm very proud of you.
Oh, I went down.
Why did you even do this, Chris? You didn't have to. You took the McLovin bait.
Because the Eagles stink.
You took
They're
the McLovin
terrible.
Bait.
They shouldn't have made the playoffs. That's why.
If the Eagles make the playoffs, I'll eat a bite of Del Tufo's hat on air.
I mean.
And you're doing it right now. That was on the 24th of November. Oh, my God.
That was Sunday?
Radio audience, I can't even tell if that's a piece of glistening jelly or a piece
day.
Of a glistening jelly, a jellied glistened
right
Del
there.
Tufo hat piece. Down it. Just, I feel like I'm talking to Taylor eating her broccoli. Just eat it and we'll get off your case. Oh, he just went one bite. He finished it. This is not going to be good because that is peanut butter and it is jelly and it is Del Tufo hat. And you just jammed literally 3-inch by 3-inch piece of sandwich.
It was a proud day for my future son.
Oh, my God. Have you shown that video to Cage?
Oh, no, actually, I have not. He'd probably really like it now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's of an age where he thinks
it's
funny.
He's now 5 years old.
Yeah,
you're eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
That's relatable.
Correct.
You're eating something you shouldn't be eating. He'll find that funny.
Yep.
And then you give him a shout out at the end.
That's true. He'd love that.
He wasn't even a thought at that point, was he?
No, he
wasn't even born
he
yet.
Was
he
six
said
weeks,
my future
He was
son.
6 weeks away from,
oh, six, okay.
from coming out. Also, did I start COVID?
Yeah.
Probably.
With that,
absolutely.
Eating that, yeah.
You might have.
Well, technically, Del Tufo's sweat then said it.
You are definitely, for COVID, you're the host masshole.
Yeah.
We should go throughout the countryside to find the host masshole, shoot it with a dart, and then use their
antibodies.
Yeah, the antibodies.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Was that Outbreak? Was that movie?
Outbreak.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Contagion.
And by the way, you're the monkey.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, I know, listen, I know this is a sore subject.
Oh, God.
No, Chris, I know this is a sore subject. And you already said you're not watching game 3 between the Knicks and the Celtics on Saturday, which was great. The full-throated, I don't really sweat what's happening right now. You know, we're good. All we just got to do is just shoot 1% better from 3-point range.
That's
And again, just 1% better.
Just one.
And they get through. They're good. I understand that's what you're saying. But do you see the Jason Tatum slander that's going around?
Yes.
Wide swath of national voices.
Who obviously don't watch a lot of Celtics games.
No, but you they're one of them. I know you're a big Dan Le Batard guy.
Well, they're also very pro Miami and anti Boston.
But basically, like, where are the moments? Where's his moments? You're like, give me a moment. Like, what's his moment?
Oh, his 50 piece in Milwaukee against Philly, Game 7. They were down 3-2 in that game. He's had so many moments.
Okay.
Oh, how about this one? Winning the NBA championship. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a moment.
I mean, he's had I don't even want to like give them credence.
I'm using him as an avatar for what's being said. Mostly, it's that in this title defense.
Well, so far he's not been great in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome this year. He's going to be first team All NBA for the fourth straight year. He's obvious bona fide superstar. He's been really bad in these two games against the Knicks. I mean, make some shots, and it's a different story, and you change the narrative. Obviously can't lose tomorrow, or it's basically over.
Well, I mean, down 0-3 would be...
it'd be bad.
Which is why Shaq and Charles have said that this is must-win for the Knicks, because if it's 2-1, well, then you never know. I mean, then suddenly all the Knicks' hard work of doing that in Boston gets erased because Boston did that in New York, mm-hmm. and now it's now back to Boston. You've got to now win another one. Everyone is just assuming, which, you know, is always dangerous, that the Knicks' work in Boston is concluded. They don't need to do any more there. All they got to do is win two of their remaining three home games in this series, and it's over. A wrap.
Right.
Like, that's the math. And so if the Celtics create a scenario in which the Knicks in game four are now pressured to win this one at home, that they now have to win their next two at home, otherwise they're going to have to do it again in Boston, which is a tall order, that's why game three is must win for the Knicks.
Yeah, and these two games have done nothing to like silence all the Tatum haters, of which there are many throughout the country, and he's not really helping himself out with the numbers and the performance, and obviously that pretty atrocious final possession in game two, in which he dribbled right into the quadruple team.
Guess
and
what? I will blame
it over.
I'm going to blame the coach for that. Because I don't mind Mazzulla drawing up the same play, calling the same play that led to a wide open go. For whatever reason, the Knicks just let Tatum stroll down the paint untouched and jam it.
It was odd because like they were seemingly defending the perimeter when hadn't made anything all day. And again, let him drive right down the middle.
But you still have to defend the perimeter because they're shamelessly hoisting from three.
They are.
Right? And so, and you know that's their most comfortable shot.
Yep.
So Mazzulla wisely used that and Tatum had a clear path. I mean, and I don't mind him doing that again, but the minute the Knicks close that up,
give it up early,
and you got a timeout, fire that one off.
But you had a timeout. He could have passed it to Brown, I think, was on the wing,
maybe.
And there was someone else in the corner at the 8 second mark instead of continuing to dribble all the way down to the baseline, which allowed Bridges to drop down and make the defensive play.
The minute the play as it was called wasn't working, and it was obvious that Tatum was struggling to find an outlet. Yeah. You got one in your pocket with 6 seconds to go. Fire it off.
He did try to make the pass, but it was way too late.
It was too late, but you could see the thought process.
There was trying to two draw seconds left.
Trying to draw a double to get Jalen, who would have had an open shot. But Bridges is acting like Glenn Close, or not the Glenn Close. Who's the closer right now? What's her? Kara Sedgwick.
Okay,
she's the closer.
I mean, that was a good line if you'd only stuck that landing.
Yeah, you know.
You know what?
Can I say it again?
The bottom line is,
Bridges was acting like Kara Sedgwick. He was the closer.
Great line. I don't even remember what happened with Glenn Close and all that.
I just had Glenn What's-Her-Nuts in my head.
Nice, good one. Good one. But don't worry, only 43 more missed references and you'll match game one.
Right. So, I need to be 1% better.
Or actually, you're still, if you miss 43 more, you're still fine. You're not as bad as the Celtics in game one. So that said, have you, now that you're a day removed, potentially rethought that you're not going to watch game three? None of it? You won't even watch some of it on your phone?
I won't look at the phone. Cage has a game at 12:30. They last about an
hour. That's the tip.
That's tip time.
Right, so you're a present parent,
you got
parent,
the second
Chris.
Half, 100%.
I know. But
all locked up.
And I'm going to play golf. And so
this guy.
I have a Saturday afternoon freak. It's Sarah and Cage are going to a concert with friends. So I have an unexpected afternoon and evening to myself.
She won't have the
take
game
advantage
on
of
your
that.
Phone while you're on the lake?
Probably not. I really need to lock in because I'm a celebrity next weekend, I really need to lock in on that.
There are priorities.
Yeah.
And plus, you just go to, open up X or whatever, and you could just quickly follow one. If you have one person you just want to follow to see how it's going in New York, just Follow Russell Wilson's account, you know, because he's Nick fan number one.
I do follow Russell Wilson.
So just check on what Russ is saying.
He's going to be courtside, right?
Of course
right?
he will be. Are you kidding me? He's the quarterback of the New York Giants. He's going to insert.
By the way,
his thoughts.
The tweet before that is take the lead. Like it must have been really? When they finally went up for the first time
fantastic.
In that game.
I'm so glad he was sharing his excitement. It's a very, as you know, social media, it's sharing your thoughts. Yep. And if it mirrors the person's thoughts reading the tweet, there's a connection.
Right. That's why we do it. That's why
right.
we do it.
Yeah. So he's just connecting with New York sports fans.
You think he's using chat DRW?
What is that?
Chad Danger, Russ Wilson to write these tweets. Kara Sedgwick, the closer.
I'm just wondering where's Chad EMJ?
Yeah, I know, right? What's Magic quiet. Been doing?
You know, maybe he's only going to. Well, the Lakers are out.
So I don't know. It's still basketball.
Let's see. I imagine
he still has some Celtic hate in him.
Yeah, but you know these Lakers are hurt right now.
No, sadly. He's been tweeting. He tweeted on the 7th, so he's active.
I remember when Magic played center against the Celtics and beat him in the NBA Finals.
That was
my uncle, who was a diehard. Was against the Sixers?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. My uncle was a diehard Celtic fan. And I remember one time he was so angry when the Lakers beat him. And then years later, I realized it's probably because he lost a bet. At the time, though, I was very impressionable.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. The Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.